ladies and gentlemen. I'm Melody Cedarstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival. I'm here with my co-host, Alfred Adisk, to bring you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events for Wednesday, November 1st, 2017. Good afternoon, Al.
Hi, Melody.
We have Wendy Wilson joining us, as she does each and every Wednesday for the first segment of the program today. Wendy Wilson with Apothecary Herbs. But first, we're going to go ahead and get to the market reports. And gold today had a decent day. I really anticipated it more of a negative impact today with Janet Yellen indicating they're on schedule for a rate hike in December. And everyone is waiting for the much-anticipated President Trump's choice in replacing her or possibly keeping her. We'll find out tomorrow, as that's to be released along the same time as the tax reform. They did not release the tax reform today. They scheduled it for tomorrow. So we'll see what goes on there. But gold today had a nice day, up $450 at $1,275.90. Silver had a big day, up almost 3%, up 44 cents, $17.23. Platinum was up $14 at $936. Palladium was up a little over 2% at $1,005. The USDX today was also stronger, 0.20 at $94.78, with crude oil having a little bit of weakness, down 0.18 at $54.20. And the paper markets today, I turned on, you know, usually I listen to Bloomberg when I'm up at 4. You know, I'll turn on Bloomberg first because they carry the numbers, and they really do it. I hate to say it, they do a decent job, better than CNBC and some of the Fox Business News channel. And Dow was up 120 points in future trading, pre-market trading. I thought, oh, it's going to be one of those days, but the Dow managed up 58 points, 23,435. The NASDAQ was roaring. That is down 11 points at 67.16. And the S&P was up 4 at 2,579. 10-year yield holding 2.38%. And pressure on the euro down 0.29 at 116. Now, the European markets were all up over 1.5%. Japan was up almost 2%. So, but the U.S. couldn't follow, with the Dow only being up 0.25%. So kind of interesting. Perhaps the foreign markets was a follow-through from our markets, but seems like something is happening here in the States. We'll talk a little bit about that after the segment with Wendy Wilson from Apothecary Herbs. I'd like to welcome Wendy. Good afternoon, Wendy.
Oh, good afternoon, Melody, and hello, Al.
Hello, Wendy.
Hey, I thought we'd take a look at this new research. It's kind of a snapshot of how Americans are aging. Some new research is coming out from especially Bloomberg Report and some of the investment areas. But reports are, you know, investigating how well Americans are living. And from the perspective of science, in all their drugs and surgeries, they're saying, well, that's allowed people to live past 50, and therefore they tend to take the credit for improving longevity. But at what level are Americans functioning at, and are we prepared for the unexpected setbacks? Now, according to Stat News, they say that we may be living longer lives than ever before in modern history, but not living better. According to them, reports that just living longer is not all that great if you're stricken with poor health, loss of independent living, financial loss at the cost of all your medical care. So the projections are 900 million people today over the age of 50 years old will soon become 1.5 billion in about 15 years. So they're worried that medical costs will just, you know, sink this nation. Now, did anybody hear about the UN drawing up a plan for the aged? Anybody hear about that?
No, but it sounds scary.
Oh, well.
Sounds like it's right on time for Halloween. It's like, oh, my gosh.
Oh, well, it's called the Madrid International Plan of Action on Aging. Now, the media has promoted it as a care plan to protect the dignity, the continued participation of the elderly in society. But what if your elderly can't fulfill the requirements? Now, the UN has secured 159 member states that will adhere to this policy. It's like a contract, and we'll get into one of the key factors of fulfilling this contract with regards to the elderly in just a minute. Now, according to the World Health Organization, which also published a report that was titled World Report on Aging and Health, they say older adults are not living healthier and more active lives, and they propose that governments get involved around the globe to take some action and create a policy to deal with the problem. Now, anybody want to guess which countries have the oldest populations?
Well, China, maybe. I'm not sure.
Well, actually, the WHO lists
Japan,
right? Japan, South Korea, and Germany as having the oldest citizens. Actually, the people of Japan, Italy, Russia, they're all under the impression that they're going to have adequate standards of living as they get older. They're expecting that. Now, the Pew Research Center conducted a study on the standard of living and the aged, what they're experiencing. And what they concluded is that the standard of living of the elderly is directly influenced by what a country expects in the older population to get this, to age healthfully. So if they're not aging healthfully, what then? Right?
Well, we all know the answer to that.
Right, we do. Well, that's kind of the key.
It'll be with dignity, though. It'll,
Yeah. Well, it's kind of the key thought throughout all these investigations that the elderly, you know, can live as long as they can live, just as long as they live healthfully. You know, once they start, you know, not being healthy anymore, there seems to be a real problem.
Also, if they run out of money.
Yeah. Well, one of the questions the Pew survey asked was, who should bear the burden of the aged population? Yeah. Who should care about them? Who should be responsible for their needs? Who should care about their well-being? Now, in the old days, it used to be family, and if there weren't any children to take care of grandma and grandpa, then the church stepped in. But now, it's, you know, the government. Well, according to the survey, residents in South Korea, Germany, and the UK were asked, you know, who should be responsible? Who should take care of them when the elderly can't be responsible for themselves? Well, they listed family, which I don't have a problem with, but there are other, the other checkbox was government. So now today we have more than one health problem. The elderly don't just have one health problem. For instance, they'll have layers of problems, like if they have heart disease, they may have diabetes or a pulmonary disease. They're on 4 to 6 medications. They're going to the doctor once a quarter at a minimum. And this long-term care can get expensive. And we're not even touching the real expensive problems like dementia, where you need, you know, health assistance and everything else. So now there's an overwhelming obstacle. The peer review survey found that one of the most difficult obstacles that the elderly face is vision loss. Macular degeneration and vision loss due to, like, say, diabetes was really a concern, and 80% of those surveyed listed it. So without, you know, your vision, you really can't work, you can't drive, you can't even, you know, walk the dog, you know, very well. So researchers are saying that the data is showing that for the older people to function well as they age, they're going to need more than just family. They're going to need more than just health insurance. They're going to need you know, governments around the world who are building and promoting a healthier nation through government managed care programs. So that's where this is going, especially for the elderly.
And where it's going, though, is who is going to support, where's the money coming from for these programs?
Well, that's
and there's only
it.
Two answers. They either raise taxes on the taxpayers, or they pass more bonds and we leave the debt for the next generation of children and grandchildren. I mean, this is an insurmountable problem. We can talk about it, but this is not an easily resolved problem.
Right. Well, no, I mean, it's complicated. And actually, the Bloomberg report actually addressed some of this. They said Americans are waiting longer to retire, but they're dying sooner with deteriorating health in between. So what we have is the middle age showing up with health problems sooner and worse than the previous generation. And mind you, this is a generation of Americans that have grown up on, you know, the American diet sprinkled with antibiotics and vaccines. So the Bloomberg report is suggesting middle-aged Americans will experience much shorter and less active retirement. I'm sorry, my phone keeps going off. My apologies. So they're going to experience a much shorter and less active retirements than previous generations is what they predicted. They also mentioned the Society of Actuaries is stating they now have consecutive years of higher mortality by 1.2%. So how's that medically acclaimed longevity looking now?
Looks like it's shrinking.
Oh, yeah. You know, and so, you know, as the life mortality increases, life expectancy is taking a dive, and Americans are pressured to work longer and delay retirement because of the economic disasters that really have taken a hit in retirement, like 9/11, for instance. They're also finding out Social Security isn't all that secure, and what they report is we are seeing one out of three seniors working into their 70s just to survive. So what we have found, failure to calculate. A lot of these retirement funds haven't calculated correctly for what their needs are for down the road, and they didn't take into account inflation and terrorist attacks that take a hit on economy. And the researchers at Michigan found that one quarter of American ages 58 to 60 said that they are in fair or good health. So,
one quarter only thought they were in fair or good health. You mean three quarters think their health is bad?
I guess so. Well, you know, and so if society can't afford to support them, what kind of government programs do you think will be implemented?
Well, the only thing they're already implementing, if they're shortening our life expectancy, you know, we can ask, is that a problem or is that an objective right now?
Well, here's something Bloomberg also reported on, that pension plans are only obligated to send checks to people who still are breathing and have a pulse. So life expectancy for pension recipients has declined for 2 years, reducing financial obligations of pension plans by a minimum of 1%. So, I'm really concerned because, you know, you're seeing other countries now redefining euthanasia laws, and it's kind of scary that we even have them, you know, assisted suicide, stuff like that. So now over in Europe, you're seeing them include the mentally ill in assisted suicides. So, I mean, if they're going to redefine, the clinical definition of, your condition is deteriorating and you're going to die anyway, it's serious. You know, if they're going to redefine that and include, you know, like the mentally ill, who else are they going to include?
Well, if they can do, if you can kill people, you assist in the suicide of someone who's mentally ill. What if he says, no, I don't want to die? He says, no, you're crazy. You got to go. I mean, once we allow the government to decide who's mentally ill, and once you are, then bye-bye.
Very
dangerous and slippery slope.
If anybody has any kind of, assets to leave to family, anybody that wants to get, you know, their hands on those assets prematurely, you know, then, you know, they may be, you know, leveraging some of this stuff. And right now we have more questions about what direction the government's going to do and implement as far as the elderly in society, but that terminology, age healthily to fulfill their role in society, is in the documentation, and it's kind of concerning me.
It's kind of like sustainable development. That's another one that's fraught with implications that aren't necessarily good.
So what role will government require of the family in order to support or even guarantee that result? You know, will families be fined? You know, that kind of thing. So we have more questions right now than answers. But as we know, you and I, Melanie, you know, money answers all things. So if the elderly become too expensive to care for, you know where that could lead, right?
Yeah.
So it's really a concern for me. You know, I know some people have said, you know, out the door at 74 kind of deal. a lot of people, you know, don't understand what exit care means. Do you know what it means?
I hadn't even heard the term before.
Oh.
But I have to admit, again, this sounds like Halloween special.
Well, you don't have to be terminally ill to fall under the exit care regimen. It's something the Affordable Care Act actually implemented. And, you know, so the terminally ill do get put on that plan immediately. Typically what happens is they'll give them mega doses of morphine to put them in a coma until they die.
Well, you know what this reminds me is I've seen reports that claim that the average man spends something like 90% of all the money he spends on health care in his life is spent in the last 6 months of his life, which means he's coming in, and January 1st, he's on the edge. They wire him up, hook him up to the machines and whatever, run up incredible bills, and he dies. They manage to sustain him for another 6 months, where without that, he would have died right there in January. They keep him wired up until June. He runs out of money, and then he dies.
Well, yeah, and basically, yeah, people have to be aware of these things when you go to even some of these urgent care clinics. Like, I think here in our town we have like an urgent ER. It's a self sustaining individual ER. It's not a hospital ER, but it functions like a hospital ER, but without the hospital part to it. And let's say you go in there on a Sunday because there's nothing else open. They're gonna, you know. The level of, you know, keeping you there as long as possible because they bill hourly. So keep that in mind. You could go in there and you should be able to get in and out in under an hour, but they may keep you an hour and 10 minutes and bill you 2 hours. See what I'm saying? Yeah, and you know they may give you a Gatorade as you go out the door. You know, at what price is that Gatorade?
Not even a lollipop?
People think they need a doctor's discharge order to leave the hospital. You do not. Did you know that?
No, I'd never thought of it, but I understand. It makes perfect sense. You want to leave, you leave. I mean, I don't think they can kidnap you into the hospital. I think it's got to be presumed to be voluntary.
Well, the thing is doctors make their rounds early in the morning before they go to their office at 9 o'clock for office visits. So, you know, you should be able to get a discharge order then. Why does it take the doctor's office the afternoon to send over the discharge order? It's to charge you an extra day.
I understand. More money, more money, more money.
That's it.
The lesson here is we've got to learn to take care of ourselves, and that's part of the reason you do business, is to help people take care of yourself. Give us a little contact information, Wendy.
Sure. Basically, if they're on the newsletter list, they would have got hot links about U.S. and global euthanasia laws in their areas, and you can check that out. But, of course, they can call us at 866-229-3663. ThePowerHerbs.com is the website, and get a free catalog.
All right, Wendy, that's Wendy Wilson from thepowerherbs.com at 866-229-3663. Give her a call. Melody and I will be right back on Financial Survival. Please stay tuned.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom, and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interest of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit csetalkradio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together, working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver at 1-800-375-4188. For all your gold and silver coin needs. What's next, Melody?
Well, you know, yesterday as we were going off the air, we were talking about what had happened in New York. At that point in time, we didn't know it was a terrorist attack. It was just a vehicle that ran some people down. I kind of suspected that was the case, but we didn't talk about that. And that's what it turns out. Eight people died, 11 are injured. And I think most people know the story on this. I don't think there's anything new to add to it. But I just wanted to bring it up to date. Al, did you have anything to say, you know, about this?
I had one thing to say. Don, you know, this is, I don't have an objection to Muslims per se. I respect their faith, and I respect the strength of their faith, right? I admire it even to some extent, but I know something. You can't be a Muslim and assimilate into the Western world. If you're going to be really a Muslim, you have it is inherent. They're like Seventh-day Adventists, except they come around, knock on your door, and cut your head off. This is a bad deal bringing them in here. And here's Donald Trump. He commented on this with a tweet, and he says, "Looks like another attack by a very sick and deranged person." I don't agree. I don't think this guy is sick and deranged. I think he's a Muslim. I think this is built into the faith. All right? I'm not convinced that this guy's crazy. We can sit back. If it was a Christian doing this, I'd say, yeah, the guy's crazy. Muslim? Maybe not. I mean, he's trying. He says he's doing this for ISIS. He's doing it for Allah Akbar and the rest of that sort of thing. This is the kind of problem that I don't think anyone has enough intelligence to resolve. And the way you deal with this problem is you don't have it in the first place, which in my opinion means you don't bring all more Muslims in. Certainly not the way we've been doing it, without vetting people, without just bring your rifle and your machete or your sword or whatever it is. Come on, we'll take care of it. And on top of which, then we subsidize them. If you're coming into this country, you better have a job. I mean, the idea of taking money from people who live here and work here to support people who are just moving in, to me, is just crazy. It's just insane. We are subsidizing people that can't stand our culture.
Well, you know, I think, you know, and I agree. I mean, that is written in the Quran. You can, you know, that is part of the, oh, hold on a second. That is, you know, and I agree with you. What I have a problem, though, too, is this guy supposedly was interviewed by a government agency in 2015.
Yep, he was supporting on the FBI's radar.
The people in San Bernardino, guess what? They were on the list. They were interviewed. They were talked about. So somewhere, someone's dropping the ball.
It's not only, I mean, we talk, the FBI and the CIA and God knows who else is spying on our phone calls, spying on our email, spying on everything they can. And what good does it do us?
Well, that's my point.
When was the last time they stopped somebody? When was, oh, we got an email from so-and-so. He says he's going up to blow up the tower tomorrow. Did they catch him? Did they stop him? Nope.
Look,
but they're spying on you and me and everybody else and not catching the people who might do something.
The point is, he was interviewed in 2015. If it was to the point where he was interviewed and he's here on a visa, get him out of here.
Well, here's
kick
another.
Him out. Why well, that's, did they that's him exactly out? Right.
Here's another point. This guy came into this country 20. He
on
moved in here from
visa.
Uzbekistan in 2010. Mm-hmm. He's been here 7 years. All right. He has not assimilated. He has not come to respect this. He has not appreciated being here. He is not assimilated. He's marching to the beat of a different drummer. And if he wants to, that's okay. I don't necessarily say that's wrong. I'm just saying you do your marching over on your parade field, which is maybe Syria or Iraq or Iran. You do your marching over there. We don't need you marching on our playing field. And I'm sure a lot of people say, oh, you've got to be liberal. You've got to give everybody the benefit. I don't think so. There's some problems. The only solution to the problem, don't have the problem.
There was a reason why he was interviewed. There was a reason why the people in San Bernardino were interviewed. This guy was on a visa. If it got to the point where he was interviewed, why didn't they kick him out? Why didn't they send him back from whence he came? And some of them, and the problem is they do assimilate, and that's the problem. We don't know. I can remember after 9/11, and you're talking Lancaster County, Pennsylvania, my aunt, and I'm not going to make the story lengthy, her best friend's daughter. But we talked about it at length. She was engaged to a Muslim guy. And, you know, very nice guy, blah, 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 blah. They were engaged. After 9/11, he just disappeared. She didn't know what happened to him. And she was spoken to. She was spoken to by the authorities and so forth. So some of them do try. There's a lot of people in this country, though, that are not accounted for. And I think if they get on any list that gives government the reason to interview them, and they're Muslim of this, you know, blah, 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 they should be kicked out and taken back to where they came from.
You know, it's not just a question of whether government keeps track of people. There is something about having a homogenous culture where neighbors keep track of neighbors, right? And if you don't fit, maybe you don't get a job. There is a way where people, local people, and you can say this is perhaps improper, unjust, but it is a reality where local people kind of keep an eye on their neighbors, and if their neighbors are a little too strange, maybe you don't get a job in that community. It's time for you to go.
Mm-hmm.
We leave it to government to take care of these people, and they don't do the job.
I'm not suggesting. I'm just saying that if they got them, get them
out. No, I get that. I understand what you're saying. I'm just.
I'm just adding
to that.
The
and I'm
people
saying,
that left this guy go after his interview, why isn't he held accountable also?
You mean
it's
the
like
FBI
doing
agent is
doing a bad job? You did
well, I understand, but why don't they do anything, Melody?
Well, why
doesn't the government do anything when they spot someone like this? Why don't they deport him? Because the guy is going to, first thing he's going to do is go hire a lawyer. Next thing you know, it's going to cost the government $100,000 to get through the courts to get this guy deported.
Well, I don't think this guy has a lot of money in order to support, but you have a lot of these fruit nut organizations that, of course, would support him.
Well, I don't know what's going on, and it's not something anyone is wise enough, certainly not me, to figure this out.
No.
I'm sure there's good Muslim people, bad Muslim people, blah, 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 I get all that. But still, there is an incidence of problems. You're mixing oil and water, and it'd be a better idea.
I agree.
Oil where it is, leave the water where it is, stop trying to mix. It isn't going to mix. Why try? Don't do it.
So now what are you going to do with this guy?
I don't know. They've shot him. He's been shot once, but he's lived through it. I don't know what they'll do. You know what I would do? And I've talked about this before on the program. General Blackjack Pershing was in the Philippines. He might have been a colonel at the time. He was ultimately a general. And they named the Pershing missile after this General Pershing. He was in the Philippines back in the early 1900s when the Hucks, who were a Muslim group, and the Philippines, there was a an uprising. And they were almost impossible to deal with because they were fearless, they were maybe on drugs, they were motivated by their faith, and they weren't going to stop. Pershing figured out what to do with them. He captured something like 20 of these hucks. He set one off to the side and said, pay attention, boy, and put the other nine up on a wall. They were killed by... they brought in soldiers with rifles, and they killed them, all right? And before they dipped all their bullets in pig's blood, and after they'd killed them, they buried their body in a trench full of pig's guts and pig's entrails and whatever. The Muslims can't deal with pig, all right? If they've got pig in them when they die, they aren't going to paradise. And it is the Achilles heel in their system. This could be handled. This guy right here, stand him up to a firing squad where everybody understands that he's going to die with bullets that include pig's blood in them. That idea stopped the invasion, stopped all the violence. As soon as they got the word out, you're not going to paradise, baby, we catch you. You're going, you're going to go wherever they put the pig people. Stopped them.
People.
Right? Well, you can laugh about it, but the point is...
No, it's just you said pig.
This strategy is... I'm not the only one who knows about this. I'm the only one, who talks about it so far as I know. But somebody must know this in government. Why aren't they using it? All right, we caught a terrorist. Fine. Change the law where this guy is going to be executed, and it's going to be by firing squad, and the firing squad is going to have bullets that include pig's blood in them. I'm going to make you bet that slows this whole business down, and all of a sudden we have peace in the valley. But we have people in government who seemingly don't want peace in the valley. They want to introduce people into this country that aren't going to assimilate. That guarantees there's going to be a problem. And instead of resolving the problem, they just wring their hands and say, let's bring in some more Muslims. This could be solved. All right? And it's a solution that on one level is disturbing, unpleasant, all right? But nevertheless, we don't have an obligation to put up with every culture that comes from every place in the world and just say, well, you can keep your culture. No, you can't. If you want to come here to be an American, fine. You want to come here to be, you want to be something other than an American, buzz off. We don't need you. And if you get out of line, guess what? We've got a bullet with not only your name on it, but a little bit of pig's blood besides that, and let's see how you like it.
Okay. Now that we got that solved, I knew we'd solve the world. I knew we'd solve the world problems here on this program. Anyway, another problem that we have, as I mentioned earlier, the Federal Reserve, Janet Yellen, said that they're going to hold rates unchanged, interest rate unchanged, but hinted that most likely they will resume raising rates come December, which is next month. It's hard to believe it's next month. But what's interesting, I didn't hear, perhaps they didn't, maybe she'll comment on it later, but I didn't hear anything about them selling off any of their bonds.
They haven't sold any of their bonds yet.
Yeah, but supposedly purchased. They were going to in October, and here it is November, and no word of they were going to release in September, that they were going to start, but so far no word on that. So, again, it doesn't seem to,
They bought these bonds in order to stimulate the economy and prevent it from collapsing into a depression. It follows that if they sell these bonds, it's going to help slow the economy and maybe push it into a depression. And the other point is that if they put these bonds up for sale, and they have $1 billion worth of bonds, and they put them up for sale, and the market is only willing to pay $700 million for it, that's a 30% write-off. Will they do that? And if they do, what happens to the value of the rest of the bonds they have? And in fact, what happens to the value of the rest of the bonds, U.S. bonds, that have been held by banks or other investors? Can they create a track record? They say, oh my gosh, the bond is only worth 70% of face value? Can they do that? Do they dare to do that? I think they're caught in a situation that they can't easily escape. And here's another one along this line. We're talking about Janet Yellen, talking about what they're going to do in case we have another recession. Here's Mark Carney. Business Insider reports that Mark Carney, who is the Bank of England governor, says the headline, Mark Carney knows a recession is coming. That's why he is under pressure to raise interest rates. If you raise interest rates, it'll cause a recession. Understand? But they're trying to explain why this is happening. Is everyone thinks the Bank of England will raise interest rates to 0.5%. But the economy isn't actually that strong, and under different circumstances, the central bank might prefer to leave the rate where it is. Bank of England Governor Mark Carney knows that the United Kingdom is flirting with recession, too many negative variables that could trip the economy in the future. He needs more weapons to fight the recession when it comes. And that means raising interest rates now so he can cut them again in the future. Am I the only one who reads this and says this is crazy?
Wow.
I need to raise interest rates now. And Janet Yellen's talking about
she's doing the same thing now,
which will perhaps push us into a recession and depression so they can lower interest rates again later on. How do you raise interest rates now without helping to cause the very recession that they claim they're going to try to prevent by raising or by cutting interest rates in the future? The whole thing is a kind of madness. I mean, this is Alice in Wonderland stuff. This is off with their heads. It's crazy.
Well, that argument has been around with Janet Yellen, is that's what she's been doing, is raising these rates so that they can lower them during the difficult times. And you're right. It's insanity.
The presumption is they're not already difficult.
It's insanity.
Yeah, no, it's just crazy. It's evidence that these people have lost their minds. They claim to be running this country, and this is just... Wendy was talking about on the program where they're going to be able to declare people are mentally ill. We can ship them off to die, essentially. You could make... Look, Janet, Miss Yellen, you telling me you want to raise interest rates... So you'll be able to lower them when the recession gets here?
That isn't the crazy part, Al.
By raising is, well,
but let me tell you what the crazy part is the rest of the world's economists, supposedly all these smart people, are sitting around like little bobbleheads shaking their head. Yeah, we agree with that. They're the ones that are also insane.
I understand the whole system is nuts. What makes it crazy, Melody? We have a debt-based monetary system. Our whole concept of economics is based on the idea that we use a currency that is an asset-based monetary system. And when we change from an asset-based monetary system to a debt-based monetary system, I think we injected certain negative phenomena that cannot work in the context of conventional economic thought. The only way we can make this debt-based monetary system work is we have to go into a kind of madness, and we have to embrace it and say, yeah, this is crazy, but we got to do it because we're using debt-based monetary instruments rather than asset-based monetary instruments. Conventional, traditional math or economics is based on assets, not debts, and we've reversed that, and we think we can still run the same principles. I don't think we can. We're going to take a couple more commercials. Melody and I will be right back. Please stay tuned. On the line, I need to hear it just one more time. Oh, won't you tell me again? Oh, can you feel it? Oh, won't you tell me again tonight? Each and every heart is...
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value. value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Alfred Haddis here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival. What's next, Melody?
Well, I just wanted to make one more note on the I think everyone is looking for President Trump to announce the replacement of Janet Yellen tomorrow, along with the tax reform is to be announced tomorrow as he goes on to his Asian trip. I believe he leaves on the 3rd. Third or fourth. Maybe. Timing is everything. Timing is everything. He's going to leave while everything gets released and let everybody bash everything around to see what's good and what isn't good. So we'll see what's in that tax reform. There's more and more discussions and information that people believe the 401ks will be affected, that they're going to lower the contributions. And right now, contributions, I mean, it's split based on age, but we'll just use 18,000 up to 50 years of age. There was talk of them dropping it to 2,400 for contributions. You know, if they do change the 401k contributions, you know it's going to be somewhere in the middle, you know, maybe 9,000 or something like that. So that's how you negotiate. You say absolutely not to 2,400 and, well, you know, maybe somewhere in the middle. So we'll see if they target that or if they were able to bypass that. I heard property taxes was still going to be able to deduct, but they're still looking at the state local taxes to eliminate that. So I guess we really don't know until the actual paperwork comes out. As I always say, devil's in the details, and I guess those details will be released tomorrow. So we can bring that more up to date tomorrow on the program, so make sure you tune in. And we'll see who the replacement of Janet Yellen is and perhaps where we're headed and what type of an impact it has on the markets. Now, in the Fed statement today, they're looking at the job gain for October to be 310,000. And I mean, I get it that there was a big drop, you know, the month before due to the hurricanes. There was negative, what, 30,000, 33,000. But I can't imagine it would be reversed for 310 for October. That's a big jump. Even the ADP numbers weren't that much. I think they were like 235,000. So, but the markets are looking for a positive number, and we'll know Friday on the jobs report actually where it falls. And again, everything is based on these hurricanes and the impact that it's had in the economy, so they're just temporary. But we've talked about the number of retail stores that have been closed this year. Over 6,500 retail stores have been closed across this country so far. It's going to have some sort of an impact on these job numbers eventually. Mm-hmm. And I don't think we've seen them yet. So
Here's another one. There's Michael Snyder at the Economic Collapse blog. He has an article entitled 37% Rate Increase in 2018. Obamacare is imploding and it must be repealed now. Are you ready to pay 37% more for health insurance in 2018? Obamacare is imploding faster than most of us imagined, and these rate increases are absolutely killing hardworking middle-class families across the country. Health insurance is one of the main reasons why the cost of living is increasing at a much faster rate than our paychecks are. The Republican control of the White House, of the Senate, and of the House of Representatives, and nevertheless, despite that Republican control, Obama still has not been repealed. The repeal should have happened the day one of the Trump presidency. This 37% means that a 27-year-old will now be paying almost $5,000 a year. That's $100 a week for one of the silver plans on under Obamacare. This benchmark silver plan is up from $2,600 per year when the Obama exchange opened in 2014. So it's doubled in 3 years, all right, basically. And this is before before subsidies are factored in. Now, Melody, I have a question for you. Why is it that it is so difficult to repeal Obamacare?
You tell me. I got a thousand answers.
No, I think I've got one that's good. Well, because it's stupid, point one. It's irrational, point two. And we have vested interest, nevertheless, that want it, point three. But the real problem, to my mind, is this. We had Michael Moore came out with some movie. This goes back at least 10 years ago, and he interviewed, I think it was Claude Rangel, but a New York congressman, and he said, why didn't you guys read the Patriot Act before you voted for it? And this was after 9/11, and they knocked the towers down, whatever. Almost instantly, they passed the Patriot Act, and it wasn't even written. They didn't have any piece of paper to look at. I don't know. I agree with it. I don't agree with this. I agree with this. No, they passed a blank piece of paper into law and then gave whoever it was license to write whatever they wanted and call it the Patriot Act. And Michael Moore asked Charlie Rangel, said, why didn't you read that? And Rangel said, welcome to Washington. Boy, we don't read any of the bills we vote for. It's easy to pass a stupid law because nobody is reading them. It's easy to pass Obamacare because virtually no one in Congress is reading the law. All right? That's why it's easy to pass. Yay, let's pass Obamacare, free health care for everybody. All right? That's all we knew. Because no one was reading the law. So they passed it. They brokered it. They did not legislate. They brokered. Now, once the law has been established, now you try to get rid of it. A completely different situation. Now they're reading the law. Now they're trying to identify the sections that we could keep. I think we could keep paragraph 3 and paragraph 15 and paragraph 177. That's what I think. And somebody else says, no, we got to keep it different. It is because that now they are reading the law, and it is almost impossible to get rid of it. The solution to the problem and the lesson here is that Congress should be forced to read the laws before they vote for them.
It's just like taxes. It's just like taxes. Once they tax something, you think they actually take it away? No, yeah. They don't. And you know, the laws are the same. The laws are always meant to protect the wealthy and the lobbyist interests. These shareholders of these insurance companies have gotten extremely wealthy over the years as these premiums continue to rise, but yet all they cry about is, oh, you know, existing conditions and this and that. And it's just like, no, they've gotten extremely wealthy, these shareholders, these lobbyists, and the subsidies to these insurance companies. You know, it's and then our rates, yeah, we talk about a 30% rate for 2018. Well, you know what? For 2017, mine went up 60%. And it's not because I'm old. It's not because of my age or I'm in ill health. I don't take A1 prescription medicine. I mean, you know. So, yeah.
That's why they raised your rates, Melody. If they knew they could count on you to buy more pharmaceutical products, they would give you a better break.
I knew someone one time. This goes back, 20 years ago. But I know someone that hadn't been on insurance, never went to a doctor, didn't get medicals, and perfect health. Perfect health. And they went to get insurance, health insurance. Every company turned them down because they were healthy and they hadn't been to a doctor. They had to pay premiums, excess premiums, because of this, because she was healthy. It's like, are you kidding me? They turned you down because you're healthy? Because I haven't been to a doctor. Mm-hmm. It's like, unbelievable.
There's another point behind that also, a possible point, and I don't know this to be true, but why would the insurance companies want unhealthy people? And I'm going to make a speculation. I'm going to, but where's the money coming from?
Government.
That's the point. I have a hunch, I mean, only a hunch, I don't know this to be true, but I have a hunch that when you walk in the door and you're healthy, you're not going to run up any bills. The government is not going to subsidize the insurance company. They don't want it just for whatever you're paying on the premium. There's more money here someplace to be made off of the sick, and the only place I can imagine it's coming from is from the government. One way or another, the government is subsidizing the sick.
Taxpayers are the government.
I don't know that the taxpayers are the government, but we are
we pay for it.
The usual suspects, yeah. We're the ones that get railroaded.
We pay for it. It's get paid. But, I mean, so not only do we pay high health insurance, we also pay through it through other taxes that we give anyway, because it ultimately falls on the taxpayer.
Here's an interesting little headline from Reuters. And the headline is, Russia and China are talking about linking currencies to end the U.S. dollar's dominance. They're talking about setting up some sort of a currency that works in both Russia and China. They're talking about who knows what, and the details are not in the article, are not extraordinary, and I don't know that this is necessarily going to happen. But the fact that they're even talking about it indicates it's just another leaf in the breeze that tells us that there's a lot of antagonism to the U.S. dollar in the world. A lot of countries, a lot of nations are fed up with it. They can't get away from it any more than you and I can get away from, using paper dollars in this country. But a lot of people have a negative opinion, and here we have the possibility that Russia and China might link currencies for the purpose of ending the U.S. dollar's dominance. If the U.S. dollar's dominance on the global scale diminishes, the U.S. dollar's value will also diminish. All right, it will become less valuable, less desirable. People will tend to reject it. And without the fiat currency, without the dollar being petrodollar and world reserve currency, our ability to project power to foreign countries like North Korea will be badly diminished. We're going to have to mind our own business. And our government doesn't really want to do that, but it will happen if the dollar goes down. And we see stories where Bitcoin, for example, is a fundamental reason people involve themselves in cryptocurrencies is they want to distance themselves from the government. I won't say it's the only reason. I mean, they're doing this because it's mostly speculation, get rich quick, and the rest of that sort of thing. But what really motivated people to get into the cryptocurrencies in the first place is the idea they could stay away from government. They could stay away. They want to stay away from the U.S. dollar. What I'm simply saying is that when here we have Russia and China are talking about linking currencies to end U.S. dollar's dominance, it's another evidence that there are forces at work in the world to take the dollar down. I'm not going to argue that it's going to happen before the end of this year. It won't necessarily happen next year. I don't know when it's going to happen, but the dollar is not well loved. And sooner or later, the forces will almost certainly rise to a point where they are able to take the dollar out. When it does, if insofar as that's true, If the dollar is headed, it's on its last legs. If that's the truth of the matter, and a lot of people think it is. If the dollar's on its last legs, sooner it means that we're also coming to a point where the price of gold is going to skyrocket. The dollar's going down, gold is going up. When is it going to happen? Can't tell you, but I'm just saying here's another leaf in the breeze. Russia and China are talking about linking currencies. And for the purpose of defeating the dollar. It's another reason. It's one of those things you can look at and say, you know, it suggests that maybe it wouldn't be a bad idea to get some gold, get some silver. Maybe it's time to start hedging my bets a little bit. Start covering my, you know, maybe I need to hedge the money I've deposited, the currency I've deposited into the bank with some gold and silver, so I really do have something of value in the event that the dollar goes into a significant decline.
And I think this points to just how close we are to a possible reset of our own currency. Mm-hmm. Is to me, they're positioning themselves for when the dollar collapses.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's not about just being upset at, you know, the U.S. and so forth. Perhaps that's the case. But I really do believe they're protecting themselves against their collapse. And once if they do this, if they do start linking currencies, I think you'll probably see both of these countries begin to dump their dollars, probably at a little bit faster rate. So we'll see, but it is interesting, particularly this is coming from Reuters, and, you know, it's just not off the wall, you know, website somewhere, although many could say Reuters is too, but it's coming from a mainstream type. So interesting, very interesting.
An idea whose time has come,
yep.
Or is coming, and the closer it gets, the more likely it is that folks are going to want and need some precious metals to store their wealth. We're out of time. We want to thank all of you for listening. Melody and I will be back tomorrow. We hope you'll tune in to Financial Survival at that time. In the meantime, may the good Lord bless you, me, Melody, and Todd, the producer. Bye-bye.
I work all night, I work all day to pay the bills I have to pay. Still, there never seems to be a single penny left for me.
That's too bad.
In my dreams.